Belinda presents this unabridged recording of One Another, written by Gail Jones and read by Hannah Fredrickson. He likes nothing more than ocean flexing with the menace of a storm. Swollen waves and rising foam, continuous din. The wash of a wall reaching up, then in a crash, descending. Now he dreams not of ocean, but of the unquiet dead, of his mother and father. Eva stands in slushy snow, peering down at her bare feet, which look larger than in real life. She is silently weeping. Apollo walks away, his face obscured. He strides like a man on an errand, or running late, or leaving the scene of a crime before he is noticed. Neither speaks, nor carries even the trace of a meaning. Somewhere in the far distance, a black umbrella pops open. There may be a sign, or not. There is the lisping sound of snow blown away in a breeze, then more snow, and more. More Polish snow. This is Joseph's recurring dream, his mother and his father. Snowfall. Always the same pointless fragment, always this same recrimination directed at his father, and the same sense of his mother's frozen suffering and grievance. The umbrella seems significant, just because it is there. It is one of those visions in which the dreamer is invisible, and there is an impression of illicit glimpse and furtive intelligence, such as a small child might feel when hiding or spying. Outlines are blurred, shapes are uncertain. Snow falls evenly on the umbrella, coating it circular, like a skullcap. When he wakes from such dreams, he is always disappointed. Eva dies first, of tuberculosis. Joseph is 7 years old. He remembers standing at the end of her bed, looking at her blue feet, after she has been cleaned and laid out in a gauzy new nightgown. Her feet splay in a V and appear very large. Joseph cannot look at his mother's face, and although the priest tells him to kiss her brow, he trembles violently, feels nauseous, and flees from the room. The shame of this moment stays with him throughout his life, even at his own death, when his parents visit as apparitions to watch him fade away. Apollo dies of tuberculosis when his son is 11. Joseph never sees the lifeless body, not even the dead feet, or not that he can remember. There is just remoteness, and a gruff cough, and a man never quite facing front on. His father is a hero, everyone says so. Joseph is the son of a hero. He clenches his fist over his heart, as instructed, but knows that he will never match his patriotic father. He wants to flee. All his life, he wants to flee. By temperament, he cannot bear too much reality. His father's grave in Krakow bears the inscription, "Victim of Muscovite Tyranny." It is spring, mild weather, May 1869. A sky with fluent, swelling clouds resting at the far horizon. The boy stands in a daze, hearing wren call and watching the first buddings of new life in the graveyard. His parents call him Konrad, though at school and on documents he is officially Josef. He loves his two names. Orphaned, he sinks into them.